John Riggs' robot hut isn't a hut at all. It's a warehouse-sized structure with 15-foot ceilings that sits beside his house and is much bigger than his house. Over the entrance, there's a huge smoke-spewing robot.
When you walk into the robot hut, what you see are three main aisles in front of you. Every aisle is, I guess, probably 40 or 50 feet long, and with shelving that goes up 6 foot high above you. So it's sort of like staring into a cavern of color, because the cases are all full of robots.
There are 2,600 toy machines here of every shape, color, and vintage imaginable, including Japanese tin lithograph robots and plastic Rock'em Sock'em robots. There's even a picture of Rig as a kid on Christmas morning with his very first mechanical friend.
I believe it came from my grandparents, and it was a 1961 Alps TV robot. Just a very cool toy.
Rig's second mechanical machine, also a Christmas present, was named Radical Robot.
When you first turn it on, it'll move around the room in bump and go action. But after a few seconds of doing that, it stops moving, and then its head turns back and forth, its antennas spin, and the light blinks, and it makes a different sound like it's looking around, and then it takes off and goes in a new direction. But it has a lot of personality in that it performs a function that looks like it's thinking.
Rick knows these toys don't really think. What intrigues him is the creativity and ingenuity that it took to design the robots in the first place.
That's really what it comes down to, is the art of the design of the toys. The things they can make them do is just amazing. This robot moves on treads, then it stops moving, and a picture inside its chest will blink and flash. And the other unique feature about it, besides the picture that lights up, is the siren sound it makes. It's not electronic, everything about it's mechanical, and it's kind of a cool siren.
A robot is a machine which performs as programmed.
If you go back in ancient history, even as far as the Greeks and whatnot, if you look at things that they'd built back then as far as automations and whatnot, the idea of trying to imitate a man has always been there. And I can't explain why, other than obviously it's not something unique to me. People always want to build more like themselves and try and do it mechanically, I guess because we can't do it any other way.
That fascination with the art of making machines that move and mimic humans led John Rigg to establish entry rules for his collection.
Any robot I bought had to do something. It could be friction-powered, it could be battery-powered, it could be wind-up, it could even be air-powered or steam-powered, it didn't matter. It had to have some sort of mechanical function that it performed.
Rigg doesn't just collect mechanical men, he also makes them. And scattered around the robot hut are exact replicas of machines that had roles in television and movies, including the star of Lost in Space.
I am not programmed for babysitting.
C-3PO from Star Wars is here, along with R2-D2, and an exact replica of what Rigg calls the ultimate robot, the one built for the 1955 MGM film Forbidden Planet.
For your convenience, I am monitored to respond to the name Robbie.
This is gyro spinners. These are his ear scanner rings. This is heart box function. And up here is his wigwag.
Something is approaching from the southwest. It is now quite close.
Something is quite close. In John Rigg's robot hut, you're surrounded by 2,600 mechanical machines, and some of them can talk, walk, smoke, laugh, and remember your name.
You've got ones that are about as smart as a brick up to ones that are as smart as your best computer you've got in the house. I can still turn them off, so as long as I'm the master, I think we're all right.
For Studio 360, I'm Harriet Baskis.
My beams are focused on your blasters, gentlemen.
If you'd like to find out more about the robot hut, check our website, studio360.org.